All right, good morning, everybody. Take your little sheet that you got. It's basically close to the same as what you had last time, but we had to add a little more because there were only 2 points on the last sheet. Why do you think we sang that song just now, "I Need Thee Every Hour"? Because we do. Now, there are some people who are needy who are proud because they need you to always be doing something for them or giving them something or giving them attention, and that really is a sign of pride. But absolute need means I have nothing, and God, unless you do something, woe is me. And so that's why I chose that song this morning, because that really is a song that shows our need, which is constant. And until we see our need, we'll never approach the Savior. If we think that we can do whatever we need to do, give ourselves eternal life or give ourselves holiness or make ourselves holy, if we really think that that is, that we don't need Christ for all those things, we will not approach him with the attitude of that song, "I need thee every hour." And really, it is true. Jesus himself said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And we just don't think like that. We think that we really think that's kind of an exaggeration. That was putting it out there a little beyond what it really is. But if you stop and think about it, we can't even breathe. We can't even live. We can't even exist for a second without him. And so we do need him every hour. Now, on your pages that we've been studying, the fruits of pride. Just to review quickly, number one, the first fruit of pride that we saw, want to be well-known or important, okay? People who want to be well-known or important are proud. And number two, we saw sinfully competitive. It's not that you want to win a game, it's just that you have to win at all costs, and you have to win, and if you don't win, there's going to be problems. Number three, want to impress people. And that's where we left it the last time in our study here. We were talking about different things that we do to try to impress people. And the one that we left off last time was, anybody remember the point we were making? Spiritually. We try to impress people spiritually. How do people try to impress others spiritually? I hear mumblings. By what they do. And is anybody spiritual because of what they do? No one in this world has ever been spiritual. Nobody is spiritual right now because of what they do. The only way somebody can be a spiritual person is how? You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. How do you get the Holy Spirit in your heart? You be born again. What do you do to be born again? What did you do to be born the first time? You didn't do anything. And really, that's the point that Jesus is making in John chapter 3 when he talks about Nicodemus says, "Well, how can somebody go back into their mother's womb and be born a second time?" And Jesus said, "Well, it's like this." He didn't really answer the question. He said, "The wind comes, and you don't know where it came from, you don't know where it went, but how do you know it was there? You felt it. You saw the results of it." And that's what the Holy Spirit is. We think that we control salvation. We think that we control everything. And it is a sovereign work of God. And frankly, you and I had nothing to do with it. God changed our hearts and made us receptive and made us run to Christ. And if he would not have done that, we would still be running away from Christ. And that is how someone becomes a spiritual person. And that, since that doesn't depend on us, that depends on God, there is no room for pride then. And so spiritual people are spiritual people because God has changed them. Now, on the page that you had from last week, there were a couple other things there. People are proud because they think what they look like. physical appearance. Some people work out and some people exercise to be seen by other people. How can you work out and how can you exercise to the glory of God? To stay healthy, okay? You say, I know that every year we hear of somebody who was 28 years old or 20 years old, a college athlete in tip-top shape, and they die of a heart attack as they were doing something, okay? They were working out, they were in good physical condition, and we still remember that God is the one who gives life, God is the one who takes life. But we also know that all things being equal, there are healthy lifestyles, and there are lifestyles that are not so healthy. And so we say, I want my life to glorify God, and that's why I work out, or that's why I exercise, or that's why I do this. My body is not my God, but I have a body that should help me to live to God's glory. And so that's the idea there with what you look like. What you've accomplished. Kids in school. Someone, you know, you're listening to somebody. Come back from Christmas vacation, and all the kids are talking maybe about what they got for Christmas. And, oh, I got this, one boy says. And another boy says, oh, I got that last year. That's no big deal. You know, really, he's saying, you know, you're starting to get some importance in this group with what you just said, but you're really not important. I'm more important. And that's the idea there. What you know. People try to impress with what they know. 1 Corinthians 13 says, knowledge puffeth up. What is puffed up? Pride. Why do you think that knowledge puffs up? How does knowledge puff up? In what way can knowledge puff us up? Eileen?
Well, we think we know more or better than you.
Okay, I know better than you. All right? Now, is it wrong to learn? Absolutely not. We should be learners constantly. But the question is, what do you do with what you know? Do you seek to help others with what God has taught you? Or do you seek to let others know? I'm going to read this, okay? I'm not going to look at you because this is tough. I had to think of this while I read this. Do you seek to let others know that you know a lot? And that really they ought to know that you know a lot. That's early, Sunday morning, all right? I hope that made it in. But really, we try to do that sometimes. I want you to know that I know a whole lot. And that is just pride. People are proud by saying where they went to school. Frankly, what does it matter where we went to school? Thank God that we got an education, if we did. And if you didn't get an education, thank God that He had His hand on your life. And now He's using your life for however He wants it. I know people in Mexico, I know people in the United States that never got a very good education, and they are used by God greatly, because it's not what they know, it's who they know. Not in a physical sense here in this world, but they know Christ, and Christ is taking their lives. You think of the disciples who knew nothing. Really, they had no education, they were fishermen, and when they spoke with boldness, and the leaders of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, look at them and they say, where did this come from? And they took note that they had been with Jesus. And that was it. All right, number four. We get to number four this morning. Another fruit of pride. Draw attention to myself. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Okay, draw attention to myself. A lot of these things just kind of overlap, but they're different shades, different nuances of the idea of pride. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Who would like to read this morning? Jim.
Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips.
Okay. Let another praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. I don't remember when I learned this verse, but I think I was pretty young. And what does that verse mean? You ever praise yourself, Deb? Don't toot your own horn. Don't toot your own horn, all right? More modern than the ESV. Anybody else? That, Chris? Don't go fishing for compliments. Okay? Let another praise you and not your own lips. Don't always be telling others what you're doing or what you've done. Somebody could say, well, I was working back there in Section C this week, and you know, I'm sure you won't see it. The curtain's closed. I'm sure you won't see what I did, so let me tell you about it. That's fishing for compliments. If you do a job or a service for Christ Church, let me ask, do you need to be recognized? We all say no. But do we want to be recognized? A lot of times we do. And we should. When we notice something that another brother or sister has done for the cause of Christ, we should say thank you. But we should make sure that if we're the ones who have done a service, that we shouldn't go fishing and say, hey, what did you think of what I did? And that's a fruit of pride there. Another way that this shows itself in that is a lot of times you'll do a job and nobody will notice. Or somebody noticed and then they changed a little bit of something that you did. And you bring it up in a conversation. You know, I did that 6 months ago, but no one really cared, so I don't think I'll do it again. That's, who did we do it for? Did we do it for other people, or did we do it for Christ? I like to be the center of attention, and will say or do things to draw attention to myself. All right, number five, I like to talk about myself. Proverbs 10, I like to talk about myself, the fifth fruit here. This is a sin that comes a lot of times when people speak a lot. The more we speak, since we can sin so easily with our tongues, the more we speak, the more opportunity we have to sin. So let's look at Proverbs 10, verse 19. Mike. Is it Mike? Would you read Proverbs 10, 19 for us, please?
When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but the prudent are restrained in speech.
Okay. The one who restrains his lips is prudent, is wise. So, it says on your paper there, I like to talk especially about myself, or persons, or things I am involved with. I want people to know what I am doing or thinking. There's another verse in Proverbs that says, a fool utters all of his heart. Everything that he's thinking, that's what a fool lets out. Oftentimes with small children, or sometimes older children, or sometimes with us as adults, we just say what we're thinking, and then we just excuse that by saying, well, that's just how I am. Okay, well, remember 2 weeks ago we saw that God is interested in change. And if that's just how you are, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul gives a list, and neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor... there's like 10 things in that list, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such are some of you. Is that right? No. There's an important tense there, and such were some of you. So if you just always say, well, that's just how I am, let me just say it. If that's just how you are and you're not interested in change, if you would never say, that's how I was, but... God has changed me, and yes, I'm not perfect, but I am working toward the change that God wants for me in my life. If you just say, that's how I am, you're just saying flat out, you're admitting to the world, I'm really not a believer. God's never changed me. And so we need to be careful with how we think about that. I want people to know what I'm doing or thinking. I would rather speak than listen. And sometimes I have a hard time being succinct. What's succinct? Short. Oh dear, don't look at the clock. But if we just have to go on and on and on, instead of just saying what we need to say, there may be a problem with pride there. Maybe you know somebody that you'd really like to have a conversation with. But when you try, all they do is talk, and even worse, all they do is talk about themselves. All right, so that's number five, like to talk about myself. Number six, fruit of pride, deceitful and pretentious. Deceitful and pretentious people. Psalm 24, let's go there. Psalm 24 here, the two verses that we're going to read really are the opposite of what pretentious and deceitful are. Let's see. Sam, would you read Psalm 24, 3 and 4, please? Do you have it? Okay, the last two lines are, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Pride, people who worship God have to do it with clean hearts, clean hands, and they don't do it deceitfully and with what is false. And the other one, Psalm 26, we're right by there. Bob St. John, would you read verses 2 through 4?
Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind, my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders.
Okay, what does pretentious mean?
Fake.
What?
Fake.
All right. I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good definition. People who are fake. You know, there was a man in Mexico one time, a number of years ago. We went to inquire about swimming at a pool. And I found there was a man, and I was just confused as to where we were. And so I said to him, I said, "Sir, is this the entrance for the pool?" And he said, "Hang on. I'm not a sir, I'm a teacher." And Mike, kind of disliking that pretentious answer and not exactly answering in the spirit, said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir." I was like, "You've got to be kidding me. I just asked where the door was or where the entrance was, and he's all upset. I am a teacher here. I'm not just a sir." And these people like to speak about themselves always. They don't say anything about you. They don't ask about you. Or how is your relationship with Jesus? They never think that you might have some problems in your life. It's all about their problems. They aren't interested in what interests you, but in what they have accomplished. Now, we all have times when we struggle with trials and afflictions. But there are people who are always only focused on themselves. Now, the little phrase that we have here, I tend to be deceptive about myself. I find myself lying to preserve my reputation. I find myself hiding the truth about myself, especially about sins and weaknesses. I don't want people to know who I really am. Now, this, I think, could be a real danger for us in Bible Community Church. Why? Well, let me just ask you if you've ever done this. You come into church, you're struggling. You've had some failures this week. You've fallen. You lost it this morning with your wife, your husband, your kids. And somebody says to you, "How are you doing?" "Well, fine." I'm not saying that we always have to say, "Lost it with my wife and kids this morning." But does that ever come out? Do we ever share with each other, "Listen, I am really struggling. Would you pray for me in this?" And we say, "Well, if I told somebody that, they would think I wasn't spiritual." And we have to say, "Uh-oh, we just talked about this a little bit higher on the list." We want to impress other people with our spirituality, and the way to do that, according to human natural, the way we're wired, is to do something. And while I do this, so how could you possibly question my spirituality? And if I'm struggling with something, we say, "Well, how can I be spiritual if I'm struggling with something?" Only spiritual people struggle with things. Why is that? Can you think of a scripture reference that tells us that only spiritual people struggle with things? Okay, Paul, when he said, "The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am." Well, Paul, you're supposed to be spiritual. Why would you say wretched? Who will deliver me from the body of this death? And then think of another verse. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And I talk to people down in our church in Mexico, and they say, "You know, before I was saved, I never had this battle." And I was like, "Amen. That's great. You're exactly right. Before we were saved, we were slaves to unrighteousness. And when God put a new nature in us, He gives us His Holy Spirit, and we still have that old nature, and there's a fight." And so spiritual people, all of them, every single one of them, have a fight inside of them that they never had before. So if there is no fight, that person is not... what? Saved. They don't have a new nature. And that's an extremely dangerous place to be. That is such a wrong attitude that has done massive, massive damage to the cause of Christ and His church today. You and I, if you're a Christian, you and I struggle. And we struggle a lot, a little. How do we struggle? All day. And when we don't have an atmosphere here that allows for Christians to struggle, that allows for us to come alongside of each other and share our struggles and share Christ with each other, and the fact that, you know, perhaps this week I didn't struggle with what you're struggling with, but I'm struggling with this. And so let's pray. You pray for me, and I will pray for you. Now, this verse might really help you. That verse that you mentioned there can really help me. And the lack of this kind of attitude in Christ's church causes the world to think that the church is full of hypocrites. And if we never have the attitude that I just described, "How can I help you? Here is how you can help me," then we are hypocrites. I'll just give you an example. When we were about 2 or 3 weeks before we came home from Mexico, one of my children, or somebody, rang the phone And the kid, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're supposed to leave the house at 4 to get down to basketball and gymnastics and karate. And it takes anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. It's 9 miles. And one of my kids answered the phone, and it was a lady from church, and said, "Is your mom there?" And this child said, "No, she's already left." And I heard that. And so the conversation went on, and he, well, all right, we've just narrowed it to 2, hung up the phone. And I said, "That was not the truth." And he said, "Yeah, but we're late. We got to go." I said, "So it's okay to lie then if we do that, or if we're late or we have to go?" I said, "You need to call her back and say, 'Please forgive me. I lied to you. And my mom is here, but we're trying to get out the door. Can she call you back later?'" And so picks up the phone, dials the lady, and I'm listening to the conversation. "I'm really sorry. I thought that my mom had left." And I'm standing there, "You did not. You knew that that was not true." Then he finally said, "I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the truth. My mom was here, but could you call us back later?" Well, the only reason I'm telling you that is because about a week after we got up here to Mentor, my mom has dial-up internet. If you know what that is, you're probably from the 80s or about 90s, 2000s, you know. She doesn't have wireless or anything like that. Well, mom's neighbor has wireless, and in the back bedroom where Faith and I were staying, there's one bar. And the neighbor gave me the password, and so I could check email or whatever I needed to do. And one day I'm sitting there on the bed, and I was checking my email, and my son came in. "Do you have internet?" And Mike said, "No." And immediately, well, I said no because I don't want all my kids getting on the neighbors, but it was not right. And I said, "I'm sorry. I expect you to tell the truth because God does, and God expects me to tell the truth because He is truth, and I didn't tell you the truth just now. Would you please forgive me?" And that is just being led by the Spirit. We all are tempted in many ways, and we all fall. And Jesus says, if you sin, confess your sin. And I am faithful, and I am just to forgive it, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is His promise. A couple weeks ago, I was introduced to someone at BCC, not here in the church, but I didn't know them. And they told me, "Well, you'll probably want to stay away from me. I'm just a really needy person." And I said, "Great. Welcome to the club. We're all needy people." And we sang this morning, "I need thee every hour." We all need Jesus constantly to strengthen us when we've fallen and been defeated, to pick us up and bring us back when we've been defeated by sin. And we need Jesus when we've had the victory over sin. There are two types of Christians that come to church. People who have had a bad week and fallen a lot of times, and people who, by God's grace, have had a lot of victories. And the only way that we can all come and worship Christ today is because we have Jesus. And if you've had some victories, you say, "I'm here to worship you, and I thank you for those victories, because without you, I could not have done it." And if you're here today and you've had some failures and you've fallen, and you say, "I am here to worship Jesus, and I certainly need Him, because I could never come on my own as a holy person and worship God except through Jesus Christ." So, with victories or with defeats, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking there about us as believers inside of a church. But I would say that this even extends when we witness to other people. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you told an unsaved person in the world that you struggled with something as a Christian? And we think, "Oh, well, I'm a Christian. I can't tell them that I struggle." Well, why did you become a Christian? Because you were needy. And so, why does that person need Christ? Because he or she is very needy. And if they know that, hey, I'm not the perfect person that you might think that walks through the doors of that church. I am a person that needs Christ, and I needed Christ before, and I need him now. And so because of that, you know, I'm not here as a better person than you are. I'm here as a wretch that I needed amazing grace from God to save. And I struggle with this, and I have to go to Christ over and over and over again. And he is my only hope, and let me tell you, he is the only hope that you have. And, you know, instead of making that a proud thing and saying, well, I'm a Christian, I could never tell them that I'm struggling with something, you say, you humble yourself when they see that humility, and that's only then will the world, not always, but only then will the world begin to think, hey, the church maybe isn't filled with hypocrites, it's filled with people who need Christ, I need the same thing. This was brought out to me 2 years ago. We came up to visit Faith's mom because she wasn't doing very well at all. And we were driving back from Pennsylvania. It's about 300 miles from her mom's house to my mom's house. And we had a trailer loaded. Her mom had given us a bunch of canned goods. It was really heavy. It was really hot. And I bought a spare tire that day for the trailer, but it didn't have a rim. And I said, I will make it 300 miles to mom's without problem. Well, certainly not. We had a blowout on the interstate up there going toward Erie. And it's Interstate 86. You may not even ever have heard of Interstate 86. It goes across lower New York, and there's nothing up there, not much at all. And I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? And finally, about 2.5 hours later, a truck came. We had called, and a truck came out, and he changes your tire right there on the road, loads it up, and so we have to pull off the next. I said, should I pay you here? He goes, it's dark. He goes, let's just go to the next exit. We get off at the next exit, and he says, I said, well, how much is it? $320. Like, oh my goodness. Well, I had about $260 cash. And I said to the man, I said, well, can I give you a check? He says, no, I don't take checks. I said, well, I'm a pastor. He said, even less. And I was like, wow, what happened with that? And he said, I've had two pastors give me bad checks. And I said, wow, that's what a terrible, terrible testimony. And no wonder the world hates religion or the world hates Christianity. If that's the kind of thing we give. And I finally just told him, and I said, I have $260 cash. I can give you that, and I promise you my check will be good. And he says, well, what else can I do? So he had to do it, and praise the Lord, I got a return check that was canceled after it went through. But we are needy people, and it doesn't help anything in the cause of Christ inside the church or outside the church to pretend or be pretentious or deceptive about ourselves. Anybody have a question or a comment there? No one really. That wasn't a lot of discussion. That was more monologue. Anybody want to say something there? All right, you had your chance. All right, next point, number 7. Fruit of pride, desire, recognition, and praise. I desire to receive recognition and credit for what I do. I like people to see what I do and let me know that they notice. Now, we as believers should be encouraging to one another, shouldn't we? But when that's what we should give, but when we do, we should be people who say, Lord, I did this for you, and it doesn't matter if anybody noticed or not. And then as other believers and brothers and sisters in Christ notice something, we should be encouraging to people who have done something. I feel hurt or offended when people don't notice or recognize me. That's happened in Mexico. It's been 2 months, and I'll notice something. Hey, who did that? Oh, so-and-so did that. When did they do that? I'm thinking like Friday, 2 months ago. Wow, that's really great. And I never heard a word about that person saying, hey, I did this. They're just doing it for the Lord, and that's a blessing. Now look at John chapter 5 here, John 5. How do we know if somebody is preaching God's word or they're really not. They're just doing it for themselves. John 5, let's go to verse 41. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. And again, he's speaking to Jewish people. And how would a Jewish person listen to what Jesus just said there? I know that you do not have the love of God within you. Either you don't love God or God doesn't love you. One of those two, you can take your pick. All right, I know that the love of God is not in you. And how is a Jewish person going to respond to that? Mrs. Wharton?
Upset.
They would be upset. A little understatement, right? They would be very upset. And so he says in verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How many false religions are there today? And you compare them to the truth, and you say, how can so many people follow so many lies? If you know the truth of Scripture and you compare any other religion in the world without Christ, you say, how can so many people follow all those lies? Well, why do many people refuse Christ? Verses 43 and 44. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Why do people refuse Christ according to this passage? Because they're proud. And they look for teachers who are proud so that they can also be proud and achieve the glory that those teachers and leaders have. Basically, teachers and leaders who are proud, they teach in that way. They're not trying to make their leaders proud. But that's the unintended consequence. And people look at proud leaders and they say, hey, I want to get where he is. I want to get where she is. And that's basically why they follow them. There's something in this for me, beyond the glory of God. They're not looking to follow the humble Christ who served. They're looking to follow proud leaders because they want to attain the same kind of life as those leaders. In front of everybody, that's what they're interested in position and pride. It's always interesting to me, the different people we've had come to our church in Mexico. Mexico is no different than the United States. People are the same everywhere. But I can think of three men who at one time or another, over 18 or 19 years, have visited our church, and either the very Sunday that they came for the first time or the very next Sunday, they were telling me that I ought to let them teach and preach in our church. And my response, I wanted to say, try the toilet brush out first in the bathroom. Why don't you clean the bathroom first, and let's see what kind of attitude you have. My response every time was, you don't even know what we teach and what we believe. Why don't you come for a while, see if you agree, and then we'll talk about you teaching perhaps in the future. And two of those three men lasted 3 weeks or less. They were not interested in teaching to help Christ's flock. They were interested in position, in the glory that comes from men and not from God. And there's two verses here in Matthew that we should look up for this point. Matthew 6, 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Hannah, could you read that for us, please? All right. Practicing righteousness to be seen by others. What's the reward? Praise of men. And that's not really great, is it? Let me ask, does anybody know? Anybody can tell me right off who won the Super Bowl last year? Or this year, actually? Seahawks. A couple of people know. Do you know who won 2 years ago, Curtis? Okay, you had to think about that, didn't you? And that's so fleeting. And it's so gone. I mean, I like the Browns. I've always, that's dumb, you know, but I like the Browns. And my son, Mikey, said one time, "Dad, why did you have to be born in Cleveland?" We have the Indians, the Cavaliers, and the Browns. And we have a friend, Jason, and he's from New England, you know, and he's a missionary in Mexico. And they've got the Celtics, who are mega champions, and the Patriots, and the Red Sox. You know, they've all won world championships. But the praise of men, and it's so fleeting. And we have to think about who, everybody praised so-and-so or such-and-such 2 weeks ago or a month ago. And now nobody in the world knows or remembers that that even happened. And praise of man is fleeting. And if we do anything to be praised by people, it's pride, it comes from pride, and it's fleeting. And then Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Who would like to read in a nice loud voice? How about John Hagopian?
"But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men."
Okay, being called rabbi kind of reminds me of that man. "I'm a teacher, not a sir." Honor what I am. And again, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. At the foot of the cross, the ground is all even. And the hymn that says, "Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Where do the worms live? Underground. And that's really who we are if we know who we are before God. There is no room for pride in the Christian life. And then number eight, we'll end with, I think one with number eight today. A fruit of pride is not fulfilled serving others. I'm not fulfilled just by serving others. People who are not fulfilled by serving others, what is their desire? To be served by others, okay? I'm here, you need to serve me. Don't you know who I am? And that's the attitude that comes across in the lack of service to others. And the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, didn't come to serve or to be served, but he came to serve. And service is the opposite of pride. And we still have to be careful because we can still do our service in order to be seen by men. But self-sacrificing service for the glory of God is the only kind of service that is the opposite of pride. And John 3:30, we ought to know this verse. We looked at it several times in the first couple of messages. John chapter 3 and verse 30. Daniel, would you read that loudly, please? Okay, he must increase, but I must decrease. Who said that? John the Baptist. What were the circumstances when John the Baptist said that? Ministry growing or shrinking? Shrinking. And what was his goal? Point others to Jesus Christ. Not point other people to himself, not point other people to whatever. His goal was, he must increase. Jesus must become bigger. You've got to see him more. And I must decrease. And if we are increasing, what's happening? If people are seeing more of us, what's the problem with that? They're seeing less of Christ. And that is, what would you say? Anything that makes Jesus look smaller and us look bigger, what is that? That's pride. Sin? That one is a catch-all, isn't it? That's sin. It's idolatry, because it's actually more important that I be seen than that Christ be seen. And so, not fulfilled serving others. I'm not very excited about seeing or making others successful. I tend to feel envious, jealous, or critical towards those who are doing well or toward those who are being honored. If you want to write down number 9, we'll start with that one next week. Number 9, another fruit of pride, self-sufficient. And let me give you 4 verses to write down. Matthew 4:4, John 15:5, Acts 17:25, and 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And spend a little bit of time this week on those 4 verses and thinking about how those relate to a fruit of pride being self-sufficiency. Work on that this week, and then we will start with number 9 next week. Going on. Thomas?
I got my sheet late. Could you please fill in number 6?
Number 6. I tend to be
pretentious.
What was the word? I'm not on that page right now, so. Deceptive. I tend to be deceptive about myself. I find myself lying. And again, okay, it's not saying, how are you today? I'm fine. I'm not saying that that's just, you're saying you're lying. But there has to be relational relationships inside of Christ's church where we can just be honest with each other. And let me ask you, are you afraid to say that to other people? Where you're struggling? If you are, it could be some pride on your part, but it also could be that you think the other person is going to judge you. And so we all have to work on that. As someone who would come to me, if somebody comes to you and says they're struggling, what would you say? Well, pray and read your Bible more this week. Ultimately, that is what we need, but that's not extremely helpful in the moment, okay? Should I just start in Leviticus then? you need to have something concrete to say to someone. And I have some little booklets. I will try to bring those this week. But they are excellent little counseling booklets to help both unbelievers and people who are in Christ. You're struggling with, one of the things was cutting their wrists or defacing their bodies. One says, when bad things happen, and it's a great little illustration on this little booklet. There's a guy with a suit on, and you just see his foot, and there's a banana peel under the shoe. He's about to step on a banana peel. But there are things that we can help each other to grow in Christ, recognizing. Let me just ask, who here is honest enough to say today, I really struggled with something this week? Raise your hand. Okay. I didn't notice if that was unanimous, but that was a lot of people. And so the person sitting next to you is struggling. And you're struggling. And so we need to help each other and, you know, find somebody who is trustworthy, okay? Who you could say, you know, I am willing to pray with you if you're willing to pray with me about some things in my life. And then when somebody says it, don't say, oh, you're a Christian? And that's what you're like? If we know how sinful we really are, nothing should surprise us. People tell me all the time, you're not going to believe this, but this happened to so-and-so. I'm not surprised because I know my own heart and I know what I'm capable of. Adolf Hitler at one time was a little baby who sat on his mother's lap and nursed with his mother and was a little boy running around probably with playing with his friends. And we know what he grew to be. And if God did not do or did not even restrain us, we would be doing that and more. We are capable of the worst things in life except for the grace of God. So let's try to be humble this week and help each other and think of who you could approach like that, that you have a friend like that here in the church or develop a friendship. And then let's be humble as we help each other in Christ. Father, we do pray that you would break us of our pride, all of us. We all so desire to be seen by men. We also desire to have a good appearance. But Lord, our appearances are nothing. May we not deceive ourselves. May we not be pretentious. May our goal be to recognize that we are all sinners. Many here, Lord willing, saved by your grace. And others, Lord, needing to be saved by your grace. I pray that you would help us to be able to develop by your grace and with humble spirits relationships with each other where we can be accountable, where we can be helpful, where we can bring Christ more and more into our everyday lives. Father, we need you, and we ask that you would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.